Welcome to the Conchris Podcast, Episode 2, where we look at the latest in politics, news, and entertainment. In this episode, we're going to start with this week's big political news that was constantly getting updated, all because of an edited tape. Now, last week, I talked about how the NAACP had signed a resolution over the weekend condemning, quote, racist Tea Party elements. Well, Andrew Breitbart, who runs big government, big journalism, big Hollywood, etc., had excerpts that were given to him from a meeting in March featuring Sherry Shepard talking with members of the NAACP about how she supposedly discriminated against a white farmer. After it came out, she was promptly fired, but it turned out there was more to the tape than what was put on the website. Shepard was the director of Georgia Rural Development with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but now because the full tape has been released, she may actually be offered a better position. So what was wrong with the tape? Well, it looked like it had been excerpted from a longer 40-minute speech she gave to the NAACP, which, if you were to watch it a little more closely, she talks a lot about race, but she clarifies that she never discriminated against the white farmer. Even the farmer in question came out and said that she didn't discriminate against him. Well, that's all well and good. Honestly, Breitbart himself said that the footage was shown on the site was the footage that he had received. Ann Coulter said on Hannity this week that she thought he was set up. My personal feeling is that he was so anxious to get this out there after the NAACP's resolution that he didn't stop to think to look at the whole tape. But here's the thing. Ignoring what Shepard said on the tape and realizing that the story she's telling has a huge but at the end, listen to the crowd in the audience. There are some in this audience who wanted her to discriminate against this farmer. Believe it or not, blacks can be racist too. And this clip proved it. Now, president of the NAACP, Ben Jealous, said he wasn't there while she was talking. On the tape, Shepard is acknowledging that Jealous introduced her. He might have left the room during her speech, we don't know. But he was at least in the building when she was telling the story. So he should have some knowledge of what was going on. What this does show is that we still have to get past race in this country. No one cares about race. Again, no one cares about race. The main concerns of people right now are that 10% of this country is unemployed. People are worried about their jobs. People are worried about the economy. People are more worried about other things than race. No one cares except for the people like the NAACP because their livelihood is based on the idea of race that they point at anyone who is against Obama's policies as racist and are willing to call all their critics racist, which is now becoming such a loaded term. We have to move past that. To prove my point, last week I had talked about how liberal website Think Progress had put out a video claiming it proved racism within the Tea Party. Turned out most of their claims were false. One person interviewed was talking about Obama's heart and not his skin color. Others in the video were plants from other Tea Party events, and one clip wasn't even from a Tea Party since it predated the movement. Well, they're at it again this week. Not content with misleading videos, they released a misleading article about a race right here in New Hampshire. Now, what I'm about to read is an editorial that was in the Concord Monitor on July 4th. These are the guy's own words, so Think Progress did not falsify this or misconstrue his meaning. I'll tell you what the issue is after I read the entire letter. Quote, I am running as a candidate for state representative in Grafton County, District 8. I am running as a Republican, but I have been endorsed by the American Third Position. I am also the American Third Position state chairman of New Hampshire. The American Third Position is a political party that stands for the interests of white Americans. For far too long, white Americans have been told that diversity is something beneficial to their existence. Statistics prove that the opposite is true. New Hampshire residents must seek to preserve their racial identity if we want future generations to have the possibility to live in such a great state. Affirmative action, illegal and legal non-white immigration, anti-white public school systems, and an anti-white media have done much damage to the United States of America, and especially New Hampshire. It is time for white people in New Hampshire and across the country to take a stand. We are only 8% of the world's population, and we need our own homeland, just like any other non-white group of people deserve their own homeland. What will happen to New Hampshire once it is only 60, 50, or 40% white? Statistics show that areas with high non-white populations have higher rates of violent crime. New Hampshire has one of the lowest rates of violent crime in the country, but that will change as the white population percentage declines and the non-white population percentage increases. I urge New Hampshire residents to go to the American Third Position website and read for yourself what it is all about. Signed, Ryan J. Murdaugh, Ashland. Now, that's pretty bad. Here's where Think Progress went with this. Their headline, Racist New Hampshire State House Candidate Advises Tea Party to Be More Open with Its Racism. Now, I just read that letter. Nowhere in that letter does he address the Tea Party directly. Apparently, they are going by some comments that he made where he expressed his opinion on Tea Party issues and his feeling that they should, quote, embrace their racism. Now, I want someone in the Tea Party to denounce this guy. He's not a Tea Partier, and if he came to a meeting, he would be kicked out as soon as they heard his name. The local Republicans denounced him, and he has no love for them either. So why is he registered as one? Because it was easier to get on the ballot. In New Hampshire, if you're a declared member of a party, it would cost a $2 filing fee. If you're not a declared member, it's 150 signatures. The guy exploited a loophole, basically. Think Progress is trying to align him with the movement and is not doing a very good job at it. No one of the Tea Party movements here in New Hampshire have declared him a member, so Think Progress should just give up. Okay, on to something else. The Daily Caller, the new conservative news site run by former MSNBC commentator Tucker Carlson, is running a series of stories on the journalist emails. The first day was groundbreaking. It showed some opinion journalists and some straight journalists, if there is such a thing anymore, of colluding to get Obama elected in 2008. The next day, they were asked questions about whether the government could shut down Fox News. Yesterday, not so earth-shattering, just emailed about how they were blindsided about the selection of Sarah Palin as John McCain's running mate. Today was actually pretty funny. Most were showing their hate they had for Keith Olbermann, which just shows that no one on either side likes the guy. Now all these emails prove is that journalists are not unbiased and that they do tend to fall to the left of issues. Considering that I worked in a newsroom for close to 3 years, albeit on a local level, they do tend to trend liberal. But I tried to keep my opinions to myself when it came to political issues. So this email really shouldn't be that shocking that these particular journalists would have these opinions. I think the shocking part is the suggestion of collusion of some of these emails, which again does not surprise me at all, but I'm glad that Carlson brought these emails to light. Speaking of which, and speaking of Tucker Carlson, Daily Caller, if you were to type in the address keitholbermann.com, it will send you directly to the Daily Caller site. Why? Because Carlson bought the web address. Brilliant! And if you want to tell Carlson how brilliant he is, email him at keith@keitholbermann.com. A hint of advice for anyone who becomes famous? Buy your domain name before someone else does. As an added note, after the sale of the domain name, Keith Olbermann announced last week that he was taking a two-week vacation, except he came back to make a special comment on Wednesday regarding the Sherry Shepard incident. And he's been tweeting nonstop, showing that he has no true concept of the word vacation. Now, this next bit is a little more serious. We'll get back to the fun in a little bit. Now, this is a warning to all the parents out there who might be listening to this podcast. This has been in the smaller circles the past couple weeks online, so I feel the need to address it. For those who don't know, along with being a mom to a beautiful little boy who's almost two, I'm also a step-parent to a 16-year-old boy and an almost 13-year-old girl. My husband, their mother, and I couldn't be prouder of them. They're both very good kids, on the honor roll, go with their little brother. I've known them since they were 3 and 6. With that being said, we know that kids can do stupid things when they go online. My stepdaughter wanted her own laptop because her brother does tend to hog the computer, so we allowed her to get a netbook. But there are some caveats to this new bauble that she has acquired. One is that it has a webcam that is being disabled until she is old enough to use it wisely. Two is that my husband is installing a bunch of protection management software into the computer so he can monitor what my stepdaughter is doing on the computer. He did this on the computer in her bedroom, too, because he did not want her to keep any secrets. He's told her that if she tries to disable these safeguards, she will have the computer taken away, no questions asked. We don't have these safeguards on the other computers set up in the house, but that is because they are in areas where we can monitor them on a regular basis, and these are computers that my husband and I use all the time. If my stepdaughter asks why, I'm just going to bring up the story of Jesse Slaughter. The past couple weeks, there's been a harassment attack against this 11-year-old girl in Florida who went by the name Jesse Slaughter online. It started on a blog called Sticky Drama, where someone posted an item accusing a member of a band called Blood on the Dance Floor of having sex with the 11-year-old, which she denied. Being 11 years old, she didn't learn that she should have just dropped it, because she made it worse with a video that was filled with a lot of bad language and threatened her quote-unquote haters with, quote, putting a gun in your mouth and making your brain slushy, unquote. She also said some other things, alluding to a possibly non-existent sex life and posting inappropriate pictures of herself online. Well, that particular video caught the attention of the anonymous board 4chan, particularly the people who post on what is known as the random board, or B-board, and someone over there encouraged the members to harass Jessie on her video. She then made two videos that made her father, which has since become meme-worthy with lines like, you done goofed, and the consequences will never be the same, and her crying while he yelled at the people. It made matters worse for Jessie, and the family started getting harassed. She was put in protective custody at one point, and she appeared on Good Morning America this week, where she said she was going to be getting into counseling. She was offline for 3 days, so things died down, but she's back on now, I guess, so things have kind of ramped up. Honestly, I hope that she gets the help she seriously needs. I'm going to be recording a separate podcast on this issue later in hopes of getting in contact with her parents and give them some hints to ensure that this doesn't happen again. She's not completely blameless in this. She shouldn't have posted the videos and pictures of herself that she did, and neither are her parents. They should have been keeping a better eye on her. But she's 11. She did not deserve this level of harassment. She was being a bratty 11-year-old. Leave the girl alone already. But on a deeper level, there are some rather adult players at play in this. The whole thing started on a website called Sticky Drama, like I mentioned. The name is a reference to a webcam site called Stick'em, where people can have their own webcam shows on there and broadcast from their homes, but also get together with other members. The age limit to get onto Stick'em is 14, so it kind of shows that they need to do a better job of monitoring who goes on their site. They've also gotten in trouble with 3 cases of sexual assault perpetrated against members. One case involved a guy raping his drunk girlfriend on camera to an audience, which was recorded by the owner of Sticky Drama, who neglected to report it to the police when it happened, but instead posted the video online and wrote about it. Honestly, I hope the family has learned a deep lesson in all this, and hopefully Jessie won't be so starving for attention from people online. In entertainment news, we have some clips that were pulled from online featuring viewer reaction to M. Night Shyamalan's upcoming 2011 release, Devil. Reportedly, in different locations whenever the trailer was played, people in the audience either groaned at the sight of his name in the credits or laughed. What I want to know is, what the hell happened to his career? Granted, I was a hanger-on for at least 3 of his films, which I have on DVD. The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and Signs. I haven't really seen any of his films since then, but it's more because I haven't had the time to do so. His box office has steadily dropped since The Sixth Sense was released. Now, I will tell you the 3 that I saw I liked. And I wanted to see more, never just got around to it. Actually, skip that. Not true. Hubby brought home The Happening one night, and we will never speak of that movie again. I think a lot of it is because Shyamalan is caught up in his own hype. I don't think he realizes that putting his name on something is no guarantee of box office. The Last Airbender was a nail in the coffin, highlighting this problem. It's been getting terrible reviews, so no one is going to see it, even in 3D. So it's selling his own brand. For his sake, I hope that Devil is a good film. The trailer looked interesting. And on a much smaller level, I wanted to highlight this issue because it demonstrates how some filmmakers don't understand copyright law. There's a film out there called The Room that came out in 2003. It's become a cult hit since its release and has been selling out midnight showings in Los Angeles for a while now. As an April Fool's joke, Cartoon Network's Adult Swim played the movie. Now, the reason why this movie is so popular is not because it's a particularly good movie. It's because the film is a particularly bad movie. It's in the category of so bad it's good, actually, which is why it's so popular. The film was made by Wiseau Films, which is headed up by the mysterious Tommy Wiseau. He's listed in the credits as starring, directing, writing, producing, and executive producing this film. Yes, he gave himself 2 producing credits. From the clips that I've seen, I now have to see this movie to watch it for myself with my husband just to see how bad it truly is. I guess the owner of the website, theroomfilm.com, has started sending out copyright notices to websites that have played clips of the movie on their sites in an attempt to protect Wiseau's quote-unquote image. One of those sites is one that I frequently called thatguywiththeglasses.com. It's primarily run by Doug and Rob Walker, with Doug starring in most of the videos, but they also have other critics on the site as well who give reviews of video games, movies, television shows, anime, you name it. Now, once in a while, they acquire new reviewers for the site. In recent months, they've added two that I've started following. The Cinema Snob, also known as Brad Jones, and a reviewer named Obscura Lupa. Obscura Lupa reviews the So Bad It's Good films, so as her first review for the site, she reviewed The Room. Last week, Doug Walker, who reviews films made before 1999 as the Nostalgia Critic, broke his own rule in order to fulfill a special request from his fans and also did a review of The Room. Obscura Lupa made a special appearance in the review in an attempt to try to talk him out of it, unquote. Well, this week, both reviewers were pulled from the site with no real explanation. Until this week, when instead of his scheduled comparison of old versus new of War of the Worlds, he instead did a parody titled The Tommy Wiseau Show, where he played Tommy Wiseau and his quote-unquote lawyer, making fun of and explaining the situation. Now, Doug Walker is claiming fair use, and he has a case. He was using the clips for criticism purposes. He didn't play the whole film, but showed clips for critiquing. I'm still trying to find Obscura Lupa's reposted video online, but the Nostalgia Critic's review is up on YouTube, with an embed at my site at conchrist.blogspot.com. If you decide to watch it, I'm going to warn you, there's some language, but it's a really funny review. He even told people to go see the film by the end of it. In solidarity of his fellow reviewers, Brad Jones came out with a video this week as part of his Brad and Jarrett show. Him and Buddy Jarrett review the film by reenacting scenes from it, even referencing The Happening at one point. It's a funny take on the whole thing. It has one of the funniest not-safe-for-work lines that I'm not going to repeat here, but trust me, it's funny. So that's the podcast for this week. I don't get a chance to post to the blog too much these days, but check it out anyway at conchrist.blogspot.com, and we will see you next week. God bless and take care.